As we look at the lives of the saints that we celebrate on All Saints Day and All Souls Day, we come to understand the love of God. Because, you know, as we look at their lives, we see that many of them were some pretty good sinners. We had one who denied Jesus. We had one in Peter. We had one in Paul who basically went and persecuted and killed Christians in the name of the Jewish faith. We had some who were Christians all along, who followed Jesus from the very beginning, such as Mary. We have others who basically came at the last moment, as in the good thief, and yet still enter God, enter heaven. As we look at the lives of the saints, we see truly that most and many were sinners. Some great sinners, some not so great sinners, but they all sinned, they all failed. And yet the big thing which we celebrate is the love of God, that He keeps reaching out to them, and He keeps reaching out to us. The same love of God that reached out to Judas, but could not change him. But Judas did not let that love touch his life and still betray Jesus. And so because of that, you know, we think of the great love that God has for each and every one of us. That He truly wants us to be happy. He wants us to be blessed. All we have to do is to walk in His way and stay true to Him. To undergo the trials, the tribulations. And yet sometimes that's very difficult and very hard. When we lose someone who is, you know, basically the sort of the soul of our life, someone who is very, very important, it's very easy to turn away and say, where is this love of God? When there's war or famine, inflation that is running rampant, where there's people dying from COVID, it's very easy to say, where is the love of God? Why is a loving God allowing all of this to happen? And somehow, God does. He sort of tests us to see how strong and deep our faith and our love is. Because He's told us over and over, especially through the words of Jesus, that if we believe and to follow Him, that He will give us all that we need to stay true to Him. And yet, no matter how holy we are, we will be tested. I can't help but think of the time of my grandmother. And maybe I've told this story to some of you before. But my grandparents were what I would call very holy people. They didn't have much. But every day, they would get up and go to Mass. And if you would go into your house, you would see, you know, probably not only pictures of the saints, of Jesus and Mary, but my grandfather was great with woodworking, and so you would see all these little altars where you have three statues and one statue, and all of the kids and grandkids, you know, not all of the kids, you know, basically in the homes would have, you know, probably, you know, a little altar for three statues, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, the Holy Family. And the thing was, is that my grandmother on All Souls Day, and there was a tradition back in her days, and I remember the tradition myself, still being part of it, that if on the Feast of All Souls Day, you went to church and you said six Our Fathers, six Hail Marys, and six Glory Bees, is that you would help somebody to get out of purgatory and into heaven. And so every All Souls Day, my grandmother would go to church. So she would go inside the door, and she would pray for somebody in the family who died. Then she would go outside, turn around, and come back in church, and say, six more, Our Father, six Heavenly, six Glory Bees, for somebody else. And she always prayed for, so then she would go back outside, come back in, and she'd always pray for the one closest to heaven. And then she'd always pray for the one far away, you know, the one farthest away from heaven. And she would probably spend most of the day going in and out of church, offering these prayers. One year she was rewarded. It was about 10 till 12 in the evening, and she was laying in bed. And she woke up. And at the foot of the bed was a 15-year-old girl. I should say a vision of a 15-year-old girl standing at the foot of her bed with the biggest smile. My grandmother was not afraid. And she was there for maybe 5 seconds and then disappeared. And my grandmother figured it was somebody that she had taken the time to pray for that morning at church. And I bring this up because right before my grandmother died, she stopped going to church. All of a sudden, she was losing her faith. She didn't believe that, you know, that God loved her. And she was going through this crisis, and it really sort of astounded the family. I mean, this loving and giving woman, this faithful woman, what could she have to be afraid of? What could she have to worry about? And eventually, after a couple of weeks, we came to find out that the devil was testing her. And what he was testing her is that she was worried about something that happened with the birth of two of my aunts who were twins. Now, this time they had to be in their 40s, have kids of their own. So we're going back 40 years. And this was one of the days when the doctors came to the house to deliver babies. And the usual price for the doctor to come and deliver a baby was $25. You can tell how old and long ago that was. So when the doctor came to deliver the twins, my grandfather gave him $50. $25 for one baby, $25 for two babies. The doctor said, no, for twins, it's $200. Because there's complications. My grandfather, no, yeah, it's $25 per baby. So there's two babies, that's $50, this is what I'm going to give you. Well, unfortunately, the doctor accepted the $50. Because as he went around in court, if he wouldn't have accepted, he would have been able to charge the whole $200. But since he accepted the $50, the doctor had to accept it. But the point is here we are, you know, 40 years later. And my grandmother is worried not over something she had done, but something that her husband had done, who had no problem with it. I mean, he wasn't worried about it, but she was. And it was enough for her to be tested and almost to lose her faith. Fortunately, we were able to get a loving priest to come in and talk with her and to share with her and to convince her of God's love and get her back to going to church. Truly, you know, we are people who maybe like the Latter-day Saints have it right. We are saints in practice, saints in progress. Because all of us are saints. All of us love God, and we strive to do the best. to ask for forgiveness when we sin, to help those in need, to offer our prayers and our thanks, to be in a loving relationship with Jesus and God, to come to church and receive Eucharist. We are truly saints in training. And so today we celebrate our sainthood, as well as the sainthood of the loved, the ones we have loved who have gone before us. So let's take a moment to remember those on our board, those in our heart, to thank God for the blessing that they were to us, that the way that they have showed us what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to walk in his way, that we learn so much maybe not by their words, but by their example and their deeds. And we say, thank you, Lord, for all of these blessed ones who are now with you in heaven. Lord, we truly bless them. And as we ask their blessing, to ask them to pray that you may truly bless us and be with us, that we may always walk in your way until someday when we are called to join with you and with them in the heavenly kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it is my belief, and it has been played out there many times, because I've seen it many times when people who are dying, that you walk into the room or you hear stories, and they're talking about people who have died long ago. And they're talking to them like they're right there in their room with them. Because I truly believe they are. Because I truly believe that God in his love for us, was when our time, if we have been faithful and good, that God sends to us our loved ones to help us with that passage. So that we're not afraid as they come to accompany us into the kingdom of heaven. We belong to the communion of saints. We celebrate that today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.